From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt continues now. This is the broadcast for, July 26th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Of course, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land. Of course, we advocate for the checks and balances that made America great. That is one of the great peaceful solutions we have at our fingertips. And of course, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Dr. Scott Bradley with me. His whole goal in life to preserve the nation. Wow, he's got a collegiate series and book series to match. Look for it on freedomsrisingsun.com, along with well over 1,000 videos, weekly webinars, and more. That is freedomsrisingsun.com. Welcome back, Dr. Bradley.
Well, thank you, and I presume that welcoming you back is also appropriate in that you've come back from that great gathering that you had out in South Dakota. And hopefully it was something that promoted and encouraged and even fostered the return to liberty and proper government.
We literally had a former sheriff. He was outed on term limits and got reelected as a county commissioner. Brad Rogers is his name. And then we had four current sitting sheriffs, two from Texas, one from Washington State, and one from Michigan State. And so we had a former sheriff, current county commissioner, and four sitting sheriffs on a panel. It was a tremendous panel. In that panel, sheriffs threatened to arrest any government official from the state or federal level or county level that literally violated the rule of law. These sheriffs are getting serious, and they're doubling down. They pointed to examples of when they've already done that, and they pointed to examples of what they're doing currently now to do that. They're rejecting masks mandates, they're rejecting businesses being shut down, and they're rejecting forced jabs in their community. And they said anybody coming around trying to do that will be promptly arrested. So anyway, just a tremendous public announcement by these four sheriffs, and growing as more and more counties start to look towards constitutional county status. We're really making some progress here at the local level, Dr. Bradley. It's not enough, but it's a huge, direct, clear start and solution.
Oh, absolutely. We need that movement to grow by thousands of sheriffs, and we need to have them not be, you know, just blather, you know, in word only kind of thing, drawing near to the Lord with their lips only and their mouths, you know, and their lips, but their hearts are far from these principles. I have sat down with my sheriff a number of times, and we get that superficial recognition and support and everything like that. But what it really comes down to is ultimately and finally he spins it in a manner that basically gives him a kind of scooch room, wiggle room, and he's going to play it the way he wants when it's politically the way it needs to be. I really am saddened by so many of these that should have the backbone and steel in their backs to do these kind of things, but so few do, and I'm hoping that this movement that you've talked about is spread far and wide so that other sheriffs can kind of see what their duty is.
Well, let me give you an example. Bob Songer sent out a letter that Michael Perutka and me and others helped write, and then he basically put the finishing touches on it. He added some things to it and made it stronger. And he really said if any bureaucrats, any professional do-gooders, any elected officials up and down the line from the county to the city to the state to the feds, if they, you know, move forward with anything unconstitutional or anything breaking the law, he will arrest them. And they literally had the city council and county commission and all these people started going against him big time. And he brought up this idea that, you know, they're going against me because they want to break the law. And they've been breaking the law for quite some time. And you know what? Why are they mad that he wants to uphold the law to this degree? So long story short, a city council tried to get the city police chief to arrest the sheriff. And the police chief said, "Are you off your rocker, crazy? The sheriff has authority to arrest me, not the other way around." And so we're starting to get real documentation on this. This is real time. This has been happening right now. It's Bob Songer, currently elected. And these sheriffs are literally going after this reality right now. Several of these sheriffs are saying, "We're not doing business shutdowns in my county. We're not doing that." And so they're really starting to take off the gloves, and we'll see how far this goes. But in my opinion, what we're talking about is jurisdictional reality, ladies and gentlemen. And we're not, you know, what they now just wrote a USA Today article about us. It was out of USA Florida, which is part of USA Today. And they said, "We, as the constitutional sheriff's organizations, believe that the sheriffs are above the law, that the sheriffs can do whatever they want to." And that is a complete lie. What we believe is that the law is on the sheriff's side, and it is jurisdictional. And the sheriff is the chief executive in a county. Even if you have a mayor or somebody else, you know what? The law enforcement officer is the chief executive in a county. Now, are we saying he's above the law? Of course, we are not saying that. But we are saying he's living beneath his privilege, and he has plenty of authority, and he needs to start using it. If the IRS comes into his county, if the federal government comes to his county, they don't have any authority there, period. And if you don't believe me, the Supreme Court case that Richard Mack won documents this very, very clearly. It's one of the greatest 10th Amendment decisions ever rendered in American history. Okay, this is serious business. And we're not saying the sheriff's above the law, but we are saying he has tremendous latitude. But the sheriff's brought up an important point on the campaign or on the stage the other day when we're presenting these panels and publicly speaking and everything. And they said, you know, we can do a lot of good, but you know what? If the people don't back us, all they're going to do is kick us out next election cycle. And that's what happened to Sheriff Richard Mack, but he won at the Supreme Court. But we need Americans to start backing their sheriffs. I think that is critical. And the sooner we learn it, the sooner we know it, the better. Speaking of that, this topic I think is just as worthy of discussion, Dr. Bradley, but I wanted to brief you a little bit on what happened there and how it went just phenomenally. Packed the house many times, and these sheriffs did a great job, and we had a fantastic dinner, and I had the chance to speak on critical issues. And I was sitting on a panel, and the title of the panel was "Busted: Is the Justice System Permanently Broken?" And I responded and said the answer is absolutely unequivocally yes. Unless was my point. Unless, in other words, if we just stick with the status quo, keep doing what we've always done, we're going to keep getting what we've always got. So yes, it's broke. But I also mentioned that there are ways to solve it. And there was two ladies and me and Richard Mack on the panel. One of the ladies was an attorney. And Bob Barr, believe it or not, of all people, was the moderator. And you know what? Some of these colleagues on that panel with me hit it out of the park. The attorney said we need fully informed juries to solve the problem. And we all clapped and completely agreed with that reality. Richard Mack said the County Sheriff of America's Last Hope is a great way we can solve the problem. And I agree with all those ideas. But I mentioned that, ladies and gentlemen, look, let me just be very blunt, very clear. The answer to this problem is not political. It is not who you get elected. It's not, you know, in the realms of attorneys and courts and laws and this and that. You got to look towards God, not government, for your solutions. And God promises us biblically that if we look to him and we repent and change, he will heal our land and protect us. That is a powerful promise, ladies and gentlemen. And so I focused on we need to look to God, not government. And the second thing we need to do is we need to realize that family is the fundamental unit of society, not communities, not government, not schools, not workplace, not family, family, family. And you know what? Society just mirrors the family. If the family's melting down and in trouble, society will be the same. But if you literally turn to God and fix the family, a mother and the father with stability for their children, and you put together the time-tested, God-ordained traditional family, and you make that strong, society will mirror that as well. And so I basically was on this panel, and I was the only one to assert this. And people didn't really want to talk about this very much. People seemed to somehow remain silent and shy away from real, powerful, productive solutions for some reason. But I merely said it's God and it's family that are the answers to this justice system permanently broken. If strong fathers love their wives and love the mothers of their children, and mothers and fathers are together raising their children, teaching them to turn to Christ, teaching them to follow the Prince of Peace, teaching them to keep the Ten Commandments of God. We don't need all these gazillion commandments from government. And if we had strong families, if we had mothers and fathers and children, I'm not saying you would have no crime, and I'm not saying everything would be perfect. But I am saying I think that 95%+ of the problem would be instantly resolved. Okay? And, you know, families that pray together, stay together is how it goes. And so I put this powerful voice forward. That was my, I don't know what you want to say, contribute to the panel, Dr. Bradley. And I think it'll be a great segue for you to chime in on my assertions.
Well, absolutely. And I believe we're just about at the end of the segment. But I would like to read you something that probably, arguably, the best president of the 20th century spoke 100 years ago, if you can believe that, and that reiterates what you're saying. Our big problem today, Sam, is that we have adopted a civil religion. It's a godless religion. It's called humanism. It's taught in all of our... It violates the First Amendment in that it is a tax-supported religious belief system. It's a faith-based belief system without a divine God. It's called humanism. And even humanists call themselves religious humanists because they believe and they know that it's faith-based, but they don't have a divine God. They believe in the wisdom of man and his learning and all this kind of stuff. And what we did back in 1962 is we excommunicated the divine source of all learning, God, from our schools. And since then, we've been harvesting this terrible, terrible situation we're into now.
All right. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Bradley set up the teaser. When we get back, he'll read it. He'll also tell you the president he is focusing on. And we'll talk about that in relation to my comments on this incredible panel. Busted. Is the justice system permanently broken? My response is yes and less. And I focused on God and family if you want to fix the country. Quick pause. Dr. Bradley will continue in seconds on your favorite hard-hitting talk station.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, you want to fix the country? You want to fix the justice system? You can take any issue under the sun, and I'm telling you that you need to look to God and family. It's God and family before country, don't you know? Dr. Bradley with me. He's breaking this down. I kind of highlighted this reality check on the panel. And I said, look, the traditional family is the answer. Looking to God Almighty instead of government is the answer. There were a lot of other reality checks and great comments in the panel. I'm not downing any of the other panelists, but I am saying they had great solutions, but I mentioned that their solutions are downstream. Their solutions are, you know, cause and effect solutions, and I'm not saying they're not valuable to implement as well, but they are not the core and they are not the real solution. Overall, the fundamental solution is look to God Almighty and double down on the family because society mirrors that reality check. Dr. Bradley.
Well, as we mentioned before the break, Calvin Coolidge, arguably the best president of the 20th century, and in spite of what some people would hold dear and argue with me about that, I believe it is probably true. He wasn't perfect, but he far more reflected the founding principles of this nation than any other president. Let's just hear what he said. He says, our government rests upon religion. It is from that source that we derive our reverence for truth and justice, for equality and liberality, and for the rights of mankind. Unless the people believe in these principles, they cannot believe in our government. There are only two main theories of government in our world. One rests on righteousness and the other on force. One appeals to reason and the other appeals to the sword. One is exemplified in the Republic. The other is represented by despotism. The government of a country never gets ahead of the religion of a country. There is no way by which we can substitute the authority of law for the virtue of man. Of course, we endeavor to restrain the vicious and furnish a fair degree of security and protection by legislation and police control, but the real reform which society in these days is seeking will come as a result of our religious convictions, or they will not come at all. Peace, justice, humanity, charity, these cannot be legislated into being. They are a result of divine grace. Now, that was, as I said, a reflection that more accurately parallels what the American founding fathers believed. And we could give you almost innumerable examples. I mean, there certainly isn't enough time in several hour-long segments to discuss this thoroughly and completely. The religiosity of those that founded this nation, their beliefs, their principles, all came from the Holy Scriptures, and the manifestation of those was brought forth in the founding documents. We give you an example of Dr. Timothy Dwight. I mean, here we are still in July, and some of those July talks that were given, boy, 4th of July things back in those days, monumental. Timothy Dwight spoke expansively and extensively one time at a July 4th presentation, in which he outlined the way the nation could stay strong and free and find a solution to all of its challenges. And the central theme really was honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And he gave extensive examples about that. And now you look at, proclaim liberty throughout all the land. Leviticus 25, that's on the Liberty Bell. You look at what happened with John Hargrove in the joint session of Congress in Christmas of 1804. He, on assignment by Congress, spoke about the second coming of Christ and preparing the nation for the last judgment. These were the perspectives of the people, and what we have done is we have abandoned that. Again, we have excommunicated by court decree God from the very source of light, knowledge, truth, learning, from our educational system, and now we worship a false god in the hallways, if you will, in the synagogues and churches of the humanist, and it's we're reaping the whirlwind at this particular point. So, yes, Sam, I believe that you have a very important, critical point that needs to be had, and we, the people, are the ones that need to embrace that. And sadly, most of us, I know that we can exclude some of us in this conversation, send their children every day to be indoctrinated by the false gods of man's learning, and have what do you think you're going to get? Well, I was teaching a Sunday school class one time. I asked the kids; these were 16-year-olds. They're in high school. So what? I said, how many hours a week do you spend in your school focus? And they gave me a variety or a spectrum of things. It varied from 40 hours a week to 70. They're immersing themselves in this false religion 40 to 70 hours a week. And how do we really expect a very brief Sunday school class, an occasional mention of God in the households for that to be recentered. I mean, it's appalling to me to think that with that kind of immersion, how can you dip your child in sewage? And I use that term literally and with full purpose. How can we dip them, soak them, marinate them in sewage 40 to 70 hours a week and expect them to smell sweet? And that's kind of where we are in America today. That's why we need more masters. That's what Franklin talked about. As we become more vicious, we need more masters. Our master will be that which government, force. As has been said, government is not eloquence, it's not reason, it is force. And like fire, it's a dangerous servant and a fearful master. So we're nibbling around the edges. If we fail to bring forth the true solutions that the American founders had, and for their willingness to sacrifice, give their very lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, that we could, the primary principal direction that they took, the reason they did what they did, the reason the Pilgrim Puritans came, the reason the great majority of the people originally came to America was so that they might worship their God and take upon them the name of Jesus Christ and practice their religion and enjoy peace and freedom and have their wives and children provided for and supported by and lived with in a kind of a setting where it was a family setting. That was the principal primary purposes where all around the world, under monarchies and other despots around the world, all of these things were being destroyed, whether it was the French Revolution or some emperor or some socialistic welfare state program that's currently around the world. America has followed the wrong trajectory.
I have highlighted that not only do we need to turn to God Almighty as opposed to government, ladies and gentlemen, and Coolidge points that out really well. But I submit to you that we can't just look at the family these days, because the family has been obliterated 66 ways from Sunday as well. What we need to do is look at the God-ordained traditional family. And that is, you know what, God made male and female. He created them. He ordained marriage to be the great institution to which children are sent. So the procreative power between male and female, legally and lawfully wedded with fidelity to one another, bringing children to the earth, partnering with God for procreation. Now, I didn't get a chance to go into all this stuff on the panel. There just wasn't time and they wouldn't let me. But this God-ordained traditional family needs to be focused on as well. I'm not here to beat up anybody else that doesn't have a family or whatever else, and they, you know, make other people part of their family. And, you know, you've got your church family and you've got your community families. And I'm not downing those things, ladies and gentlemen. But I am elevating this focus and principle of the God-ordained family. That is fundamental, and you cannot jettison that God-ordained reality of a family either. Now, sure, if people don't have families, they can find in the human race, the human family, any families they can cobble together, and that's wonderful. I'm not downing that. Everybody needs someone. But I am highlighting and focusing on this God-ordained traditional family as well, Doctor, because you can't let the family just be this nebulous a term that has no direct understanding of a male and a female, a husband and a wife, a father and a mother at the helm, standing side by side to carry out these sacred responsibilities before God Almighty as they partner with God to bring forward the next generations and teach them about God and family and country, teach them about these principles. You cannot let just the family be this generic term with no real guidelines, no real direction. You've got to understand family is the fundamental leader of society, but it's the God-ordained traditional family we're talking about is the key here. And I get it. When families fall apart, you do the next best thing. I understand. But let's not act like it's all equal, because it isn't and never will be. Doctor?
Well, again, we're coming up on a break, but let's talk about that when we come back, because what's happening today is exactly what we're doing with our Constitution. We're redefining terms. You know, the Constitution's written in plain English. They're words. They're English words. And anybody that has learned English can know the meaning and the names and what they stand for. And what has happened is that the people are thinking that they can take those words and make them mean anything that they want. The reality of it, logic, reason, and intelligence would tell you they can only mean what they were written in the day they were written and what they meant in that day. And we've hopefully we can talk about family when we get back and how this works under God's plan.
And I also want to say that when it's God laying out the definition, then you better really sit up and take notice, my dear brothers and sisters. Hang tight. Dr. Bradley with us. FreedomsRisingSun.com is website. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Ratings for the Olympic Games opening ceremony were down 36% compared to 2016, according to preliminary numbers from NBC Universal. The numbers for the Tokyo Games marked the lowest audience for Olympic opening ceremony events in 30 years. California's biggest wildfire, the Dixie Fire, merged with another blaze as it burned homes in Northern California Sunday. The Dixie Fire is one of 86 large wildfires burning across the western U.S. Citizen anger over Tunisia's handling of a recent spike in COVID cases has added to general unrest over the nation's economic and social turmoil. Tunisian President Kais Saied announced Sunday that he had dismissed the country's prime minister and frozen parliament. The move, which comes on the 64th anniversary of Tunisia's independence. Tunisia's revolution in 2011 is often displayed as the sole success of the Arab Spring revolts across the region, but it has not led to stability economically or politically. USA Radio News.
If you drive a car, truck, SUV, or vehicle of any kind, you need GetUpside, the free gas app that pays.
As the federal government's open border policy is not a one-size-fits-all, Texas lawmakers are fighting back on Washington's policy. Dan Naraki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
The state of Texas has started using a new tool to fight the influx of illegal border crossings into their state. Last week, state law enforcement began arresting illegal migrants on trespassing charges, part of Governor Greg Abbott's plan to stem the flow of migrants into Texas. Attorney General Ken Paxton tells Fox News that the state has taken this approach because the federal government has refused to fulfill its duty to secure the border.
You know, it's slow at first. I mean, we're just beginning this process. We've been forced into this. The Governor Abbott just started this process, and he's been forced into it because the federal government, as you can see, as your reporter just showed, they are not doing the job, and they have no interest in doing the job, and they continue to invite people to cross the border to the detriment of this country and even maybe to the detriment of some of these immigrants.
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
Thanks for listening. USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
The CDC is warning unvaccinated Americans and vaccinated Americans, mask mandates could be back in place this winter. Brad Bernards from the West Texas USA Radio News Bureau investigates further.
As concerns grow regarding the Delta variant spread across the globe, the CDC is reporting drastic increases across the country in the number of people contracting.
It's all about the definitions, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about the God-ordained traditional family for solutions, turning to God and family. If you want to solve not only the justice system being permanently broken, but all the other problems in society, society is a mirror of the God-ordained traditional family. I made the case at the panel at Freedom Fest. Dr. Bradley continues to break it down in a meaningful way by talking definitions, solutions. It's all right here on Liberty Roundtable Live. Dr. Bradley, definitions all important, aren't they?
Well, indeed they are, and that's exactly what the those that are seeking to destroy this nation are doing, is redefining everything. And they're doing it in a manner that brings that destabilizes society and causes confusion, and ultimately is intended to overthrow the societal basis. And so, you know, whether you're talking about a constitution that's written in English, those English words have meanings. Those meanings may be known. They can only mean what they meant in the day they were written. You can't redefine it as a democracy because it says republic. It is republic. It is fully, completely understood in the original intent. But the fact of the matter is, this is done by all things that God has set forth, and there's an attempt to destabilize society through reviewing that. Let's look at how God set this up originally, and then let's talk about what Blackstone said in his original Volume 1 of his commentaries, which the Founding Fathers all studied, understood, and applied. But basically, here's how God works. He has a 9-month gestation period. It's a period of time in which the husband and wife bring stability, they bring love, they bring support, they bring protection, and they establish an environment in which that child may come into the world into not only loving arms, but a place in which there is that security and safety. That's the intent. The child, unlike, you know, an animal world where, you know, in a short period of time, they're cast out into the world to make their way. No, this is to be a decades-long relationship in which teaching, nurturing, and loving occurs. There is a stability that's taught by the traditions of those things that have been learned through the centuries on what it takes to make a success out of a child. And that's the way God works. There's none of this, you know, throwing them overboard when they get a few weeks on their own, they can walk on their own two legs or whatever. We stay together as families and are intended to stay together. And ultimately, my belief system is that families were intended to last through the eternities. But nevertheless, without getting off on a completely doctrinal discussion on that, let's look at what, you know, we've said, okay, this is how God ordained it. This idea of having marriage and children and families as being unrelated to each other, which is what the woke crowd would have us believe today, the celebrities of today would have us believe, that is the way God established for us to be able to create and raise families in that stable, loving, predictable society. Now, here, going to Blackstone's commentaries. Blackstone wrote eloquently. You're going to have to think about this. We don't have near the language that they had, you know, 250 years ago. But at any rate, he said, the law of nature being coeval with mankind and dictated by God himself is, of course, superior in obligation to any other. So he's saying God's law takes precedence, okay? It is binding over all the globe in all countries and at all times. No human laws are of any validity if contrary to this. And such of them as are valid derive all their force and all their authority, immediately or immediately, from this original upon these two foundations, the law of nature and the law of revelation, depend all human laws. That is to say, no human laws should be suffered to contradict these. To instance, in the case of murder, it is expressly forbidden by the divine and demonstrably by the natural law, and from these prohibitions arise the true unlawfulness of this crime. Okay, so God established the law. Human law is to be absolutely in complete conformance to that. And nothing should contradict the God's law. So when people come along and they say, oh, I'm redefining family, and I understand what you've done about all these associations and everything like that, they're really not family. They're associations. So you can have an association in a fraternal order or some kind of a religious order or some kind of community or whatever. They're not family. God's definition of family was ordained from the very beginning. A man and a woman create a child. That child is brought into the... It doesn't take a village to raise the child. That's a socialist, communistic perspective. It takes a loving man and woman. And I understand what you're saying. Sometimes those things fail because we're mortal. But the ideal would be to encourage that, support that, and facilitate that, rather than trying to say, oh, my tribe does this, or here's how my group believes about sexuality, or this idea that it's fluid and this is so unstable. It is so confused. And children that are raised in these environments tend to have a higher suicide rate. It's a fact of humanity and of mortality. And these societies that have created the most embracive of the laws that say we've got to support this, we've got to encourage this, we've got to accept this, they haven't reduced the suicide rates among their people. They haven't reduced the poverty or the despair or the despondency or depression, whatever you want to call it.
all they've done is institutionalized it by the way they've changed things. And so, yeah, you're right, Sam. We do need to come back to the God-ordained of everything. We need to quit trying to redefine according to this new religion, the wisdom of man that we've talked about, that anything and everything is acceptable. In fact, were there a time, and we could, if you want to, at some point, look at the Humanist Manifesto and sexual proclivities and all of these urbane things that they're trying to bring forth now.
Let's do it, Doctor, because I think the contrast here is incredible. I'm proposing to turn to God Almighty, male and female created he them, and turning to the God-ordained traditional family as the solution. Now, again, I get if your family's broken that we need to do the next best thing. Look for neighbors, look to the church, look to other people to kind of pick up the pieces when things go wrong. But you know what? We live in the real, I agree, but we need to teach to the ideal, and we need to focus on moving the real as close to the ideal as we possibly can. And what I find fascinating about this is no one wants to really talk about it. No one really wants to take the bull by the horns. When I brought this up on this panel, I literally stood alone. I don't think they disagreed with me. But I just think they didn't have the understanding and the foresight to agree with me and to double down on this point.
Well, look, that's because they've been taught through the new religion, this humanism, all their lives. I mean, Sam, really. I mean, I'm substantially older than you. I know. It doesn't sound like it, right? But in any case, I went through it. I mean, I was immersed in that system. And this was the religion that was taught to me and my generation and the generation before me. And it is what we are in America today. My dad is in his 90s. And that is the religion that he was taught in his day. And so consequently, I don't find it the least bit surprising that people have kind of, they feel like they're on thin ice or, I mean, you know, they can feel it in their heart, and I'm pretty sure, I don't know all of the people that were on your panel, but you know what? I bet that they're a good heart and want to do the right thing. But to tell you the truth, it's what I find very often with the gospel of liberty. I find that the understanding is so shallow right now. People can say, well, they kind of put their head down and kick the dirt clods, and they say, well, I feel this, and I think it's right, and everything, but they don't know that the foundation we stand on is immovable. It's solid. It is pure, and it is defensible. But they don't have that because of our religious training of our whole lives, this 40 to 70 hours a week that we got for 12 years of our lives. And then we go to the institutions of quote-unquote higher learning, the temples of the humanist, wherein we get further education, and, you know, heaven forbid, if you get a law degree, you're taught in the priestcraft of a false religion about what law ought to be. And as Blackstone pointed out, and the founding fathers all understood, all of our law is based upon God's law. And if it doesn't have a foundation on God's law, it is not valid. You cannot say that we brought anything forth that's valid and people come to me and they say, oh, Bradley, you can't legislate morality. I say, well, you know, I kind of look at it this way. If there isn't a moral basis to a law, it needs to be reevaluated. But let's look, and I don't know, like, we keep coming up on these breaks, Sam. I know you got to pay the bills, but think about this for a minute. But when we come back, we'll talk about what the Humanist Manifestos, the 1, 2, and 3, from 1933, 1973, and 2003. They're very brief little documents. You can read them in one sitting if you can, your stomach and your spirit will allow you to do so. These have become the de facto lesson plan of modern American education. John Dewey and his scurrilous crowd brought this forth. Maybe we can listen to some of these things when we get back from the break.
You got it. Dr. Bradley with me, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman advocating for the God-ordained traditional family. Dr. Bradley breaking down the reality point by point. Our goal is to make the real and the ideal as close together as we can possibly get. Will you help us?
Yeah. Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense, as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray. And that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
These incredible topics, ladies and gentlemen, we never have enough time to flesh them out as we really intend to, but nevertheless, hopefully we can start the ball rolling and you can spend time on your own and digging into the points we make and the solutions we bring to the table, because I believe this is Solutions Radio. That's our goal. It's not to talk about and complain about the problems, but it is to highlight where we really are. It is to live in the real and to work towards making the ideal the real. And you know what? The more you and I work on it, the more we the people turn to God Almighty, and the more we turn to our families, and the more we really start to spend time on real solutions, to some degree very political. I would submit to you that it's not political, it's moral, and it's outside of politics. But nevertheless, I digress. These are the, in my opinion, real answers for the Republic, the real answers for you and your family, the real answers for the next generations to come. And Dr. Bradley, definitions are all important, but it's one thing to learn about it. It's another thing to actively advocate and make sure that you carry that ball forward, sir.
Well, absolutely, and if you'll bear with me for a few moments, and if people will listen with an honest and an open heart and hear with both their heart and their mind, they'll understand that these humanist manifestos truly are the lesson plan of modern America. We are teaching a godless religion as our national religion. And if you'll bear with me for a few quotations, I've got so much we could go into, but out of the 1933 and then the 1973 manifestos. These are what they taught. And think about how they're taught to your children, your grandchildren today. Here's what it is. Just begin with 1933. Religious humanists. There's the term. They use it themselves. Religious humanists regard the universe as self-existing, not created. There ain't no God, guys. Okay. Humanism believes that man is a part of nature and he has emerged as a result of continuous process. Evolutionary. Darwinism. Okay. I'm going to have to skip pretty quickly. We consider religious forms and ideas of our fathers no longer adequate. Get rid of your God of your fathers and so on and so forth. Here, I'm jumping into the 1973 Humanist Manifesto. As in 1933, humanists still believe that traditional theism, especially faith in the prayer-hearing God, assumed to love and care for persons, to hear and understand their prayers, to be able to do something about them, is an unproven and outmoded faith. Reasonable minds look to other means for survival. Oh, let's go further. We find insufficient evidence for belief in the existence of a supernatural. It is either meaningless or irrelevant. We begin with humans, not God. Nature, not deity. Here's another one. promises of immortal salvation or fear of eternal damnation are both illusory and harmful. There is no credible evidence that life survives the death of the body. I'm going to have to leave it, I know, but let me just read you one thing about sexuality and these intimate things that are the basis of families and bring forth God's plan upon the earth. This brief quote out of the 1973 Humanist Manifesto. In the area of sexuality, we believe that intolerant attitudes, often cultivated by Orthodox religions and puritanical cultures, unduly repress sexual conduct. The right to birth control, abortion, and divorce should be recognized. Neither do we wish to prohibit by law or social sanction sexual behaviors between consenting adults. And the many varieties of sexual exploration should not in themselves be considered evil. A civilized society should be a tolerant one. Individuals should be permitted to express their sexual proclivities and pursue their lifestyles as they desire. Moral education for children and adults is an important way of developing awareness and sexual maturity. Wait. Moral education. You saw, I think, Sam, that this spring the United Nations UNICEF organization came out and said we should have age-appropriate pornography that we use to teach our children reproductive understanding. Sam, we are immersed in this. Did you hear that last quote about lifestyles, about tolerance, about repressed conduct, about all of these things that they've immersed society in now that is completely destroying the stability of society because the family is being destabilized. These things are what have become the de facto religious belief of America because it is the de facto lesson plan of America. Yeah, they can weave it into 9 months of school every year and all this kind of stuff, but what they do is they use these little pamphlets, humanist pamphlets. It's a religion. It violates the First Amendment because it is a tax-supported religion. Hundreds of billions of dollars are spent every year, tax dollars, supporting this godless religion. And so should we wonder that people on panels don't feel that they have the foundation to stand on? Should we feel, think about it, people, if we were to clearly understand these principles, there would be no doubt that we would stand up for and defend them. But if you look in a board of education meeting in your local community, if you look at your state board of education, godless humanists are running this thing. Yeah, that may be good people in their hearts, and they may, go to church with you and everything, but they're implementing the official de facto religion that has been accepted by legal enactment, that this is going to be what we teach our children.
And Dr. Bradley, in most cases, they don't even realize what they are doing. I don't think that the panel was against me. I think they think that's generally right. I just don't think they have the wherewithal, the tools, the knowledge, the experience, the history, the definitions. They don't have the other side's playbook well enough to understand. That's why we need to reject, unequivocally reject, both the Humanist Manifesto and the Communist Manifesto. Okay, this is very, they don't understand the playbook. They kind of just get caught in the middle of inertia of this thing to be like, oh, yeah, we agree that, humanism is bad, or we agree that communism is bad, or we agree the family's important. But they don't realize that in there is not just a we agree, but it's a breaking down detail of the past, the present, the future, in relation to these absolutely 1,000-degree separation or 180-degree difference, if you will, between the godless Humanist Manifesto, the godless Communist Manifesto versus the God-ordained government our founders put together.
George Patton read Rommel's book about infantry and armor so he could defeat him, okay? So that's why Patton was able in North Africa to kick the Nazis out of North Africa in just short order after we had really been bloodied in those things of the early battles. The British and the Americans just had our clocks cleaned in those battles. Patton came along. He knew what Rommel's approach was, and he had learned it to defeat it. That's why when I teach from the Communist Manifesto and the Humanist Manifesto, these principles so we might defeat them, which is totally different than what we are doing now at our U.S. military academies, teaching the critical race theory as something that we might embrace. If we were teaching it to teach them how to defeat it, that's one thing. But to teach it as something that should be embraced within our nation, that's when we will be led to defeat. If Patton had learned about Rommel's approach to be able to say, well, I guess this guy's got the pattern down. I guess we ought to just roll over and let him win. No, he learned it to defeat it. And that's what we try to do with the Communist Manifesto and the Humanist Manifesto and these other associated, and they are very well integrated with each other. They are synergistic completely. These things and all of these other things that are coming up BLM, Antifa, those people have embraced these things wholeheartedly, and they're feeding them to us as Gramsci, the Italian communist, tried to do back in the 1920s, a slice at a time. And we are embracing them because we are not learning them to defeat them. We should be learning about their strategies and being able to use God's way of bringing forth a solution instead of saying, well, I don't really understand this. It doesn't feel good to me, but by golly, I don't know how to go around it. Yeah, we can know if we will learn it, if we will apply these God-ordained principles in opposition to these things, when we know that the opposition is using these well-honed tactics day in and day out in our public education system, in our media, in our political circles, we're in a lot of trouble. That's why I fear that we've got to raise up a generation of people that understand these things so we can have statesmanlike people to lead again in a similar manner to what the American Founding Fathers were. Read these things like the Blackstone's commentaries and The Spirit of Laws by Montesquieu and Locke's Civil Government. But read the scriptures. I mean, these are the foundations upon which this nation was built, and the American Founding Fathers used all of it.
The issue here, in my opinion, Dr. Bradley, is honesty. Okay, we need to be honest about what the real solutions are. We don't need to be fearful that we might step on somebody's toes that doesn't have a perfect family or that doesn't understand these things or that is embracing some of these wrong-headed principles. We need to be very clear and concise. We're not here to attack anybody. We know we live in the real. We know we got to work on it one day, one person, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. But we also must highlight the ideal very honestly. And there's no other way to do it that I know of than the way we're doing it on this radio program. And I'm not here to attack everybody, but I am here to point the way towards real, honest, actionable solutions. Dr. Bradley?
In America, it indeed has a godly heritage. It's no longer being taught in our public schools and largely in our political environments and everything throughout the nation. And sadly, we're beginning to reap the whirlwind. There is a whirlwind brewing, and it will come through this nation. It's cyclonic power. I mean, it is going to be a tornado. And America, unless we begin to... When I was a little boy, I got lost when I was 6 years old, and there's not time to tell the whole story. But my first impression when I realized I was lost was to run. I followed that impression. And what I found was that I was making really good time, but I didn't have any direction. I'd fallen down in the creek and the boulders and the briars and the brambles. That does not get you back to the trail. We know the back trail. We have the back trail. It's well-defined. And the foundational principles of this nation is where we need to go back to. We have that. We can sit down. We can not panic. We can look back. We can find our way back to the trail. But you don't do it by all of the false philosophies of godless religions that are being constantly promoted upon this nation. And it's taught to our children from the youngest of age. Biden wants to do it from age 3. They've got a program now that will start 3- and 4-year-olds in a indoctrination program, and we're going to take it. They're going to pay for everything through your community college. This is going to be your religion by the time you get done. but we know the back trail. If we'll look at it, if we can find it, don't panic, people. We know the way back. There is a way.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's to hope. Here's to prayer. Here's to trust in God Almighty. Here's to documenting the reality of the Founding Fathers and our history. We have a godly and an American heritage that relates to God and family. That is the solution as we return peacefully to what made America great and what will make America great again. That is turning to God. That is the God-ordained traditional family. There is no other way, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be very clear. And I'm not here to attack anybody, but I am here to make sure the issue is clear. The issue is honesty. Honesty about who we are. Honesty about those who fought for liberty. Let's stand with them, shall we? God save the Republic.